We gather here to encourage one another. Some of us had good weeks this past week. Some of us had some trials this past week. Yet we're all here, worshiping the one true God.
Amen.
In spirit and in truth. That's what Brother Ed just said. In spirit and in truth. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we wrestle not against the flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, governmental places. So take unto you the whole armor of God, that you can be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore. Have your loins girt about with truth. Be committed to truth. Be committed to the truth that you've been bestowed. And having on the breastplate of righteousness, be holy, folks. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. My peace, my comfort, and my, it's all there wrapped in what Christ did for me. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. I humble myself before you, Lord, to be your servant. Holy Spirit, use me. Speak through me. Accomplish your will. Make a difference right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to continue on in the helmet of salvation. Take the helmet of salvation. Remember, the first three pieces of armor we are to have on at all times. And then you are to take up the shield of faith. Take on this helmet of salvation. Take the sword of the Spirit. And we learned about the helmet of salvation last week. In the Greek, that the salvation is the hope for the future. We were saved, which was being justified by faith. We are being saved. That is the sanctification process. And what we're talking about here is glorification. The future salvation to which we look forward to. In Romans 8, 16 through 18 says, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You and I are the children of God. And if children, then we are heirs and heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, the sufferings of today, folks, the sufferings that you will have tomorrow, they are not worthy to be compared with the glory that's going to be revealed in us. Because in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, that last trump, the trumpet will sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass a saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? That is 1 Corinthians, folks. So we have hope for the future. That's salvation. In 1 Thessalonians, there's a couple of review scriptures. But let us who are of the day, we are children of the day, not of the night. We are no longer sons of disobedience. We are of the day. The light of Christ is inside us. But who are of the day? Be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. That hope in Hebrews is an anchor to our soul. So we can say, all is well with my soul. He is God. He is in control. As that song that we sing, I love singing that song with you. All is well. All is well with my soul. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what comes my way. All is well. My hope is secure. I look to the promise that's ahead. It doesn't matter what comes my way. My hope is to what's ahead. It's what's ahead, folks. We have promises from Christ in future glory. In 2 Peter, whereby you are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. In 1 Peter, it says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perish, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, in whom though you now see him not, so you don't see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable. Not happiness, joy. What is joy, folks? It's a fruit of the Spirit. Unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. And that's where we left off. So because of the promises, our spirit actually groans, waiting for redemption to be glorified. Romans 8:23 reads, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, capital S, that means the Holy Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, with the redemption of our body. Our spirit groans, get me out of this world. Get me out of this world. Take me. Take me to heaven, where I may be and gaze on his face. Romans chapter 13, 11 through 14. And that knowing the time, go ahead and turn over there, actually. I'd like you to read along with me. Romans chapter 13, verses 11 through 14. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. Wake up, folks. You are here. You are here doing the Master's work. For what does it say? For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. You, folks, each and every one of us are closer. We are closer to that salvation. We are closer to glorification than we were yesterday. Do you realize that? Some of us will be called before others. But our salvation is nearer than yesterday. And it'll be nearer tomorrow, if you make it to tomorrow, Lord willing. The night is far spent and the day is at hand. Today, they say, today is the day of salvation. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on what, folks? Put on the what? Armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put you on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. I was at a pumpkin patch yesterday with my wife and Caitlin, and it was a farm, Siegel Farms, actually, out in Lockport. And we were walking around and playing with the goats and all these different animals. And we were looking at these baby chickens, and the guy says, go look at that pig. That's the biggest pig you've ever seen. And we're talking about fulfilling the lust of the flesh. And there it was. I walk over to this little, like, pen. And there's this pig wallowing in the mud, eating its own filth. And it made me think, and it just hit me there, you know, I don't want to go back to the mud. I don't want to fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And I was sitting there watching this pig just consume itself, dirty as all can be. You know, just in the mud constantly, because that was his nature. You don't have that nature, folks. You don't have that nature. So Paul tells us to be ready, to put on the armor of light, for our salvation is near. You and I are actually closer to the fullness of our salvation, the glorification, than we actually think. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 15 through 18, it says, "For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day."
Amen.
Day by day, folks, the spirit is renewed day by day. "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment," your affliction you experienced this week, folks, if you had affliction for Christ's sake, "is but for a moment. And it works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we not look at the things which are seen, but the things are which are not seen." What are we talking about? Spiritual warfare. There's an element we learned about the spirit realm. Things that are not seen. We just read about where you don't see Christ, but you have the hope for joy of salvation. Because you don't see Him. He's not here right now. "For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So we don't lose heart when suffering happens to us. For what we know that what we suffer in this life will cause to be our reward in heaven. We bear it now and are rewarded it later. Remember, the helmet not only protects the head, it also protects the eyes." Remember the brow ridge that we learned last week? The Roman helmet had a brow ridge to protect the eyes. So as a Christian, the hope of salvation helps us fix our eyes on the goal ahead. We press forward without distraction, detours, remaining steadfast in our faith. In Ephesians chapter 6, we are learning that the Christian struggle is a war. Right? It's a battle. In Hebrews, we learn it's a race. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight." You know, how many of you watched the Olympics this year? If you did, you saw people run, right? You saw sprinters. I saw sprinters. You see them run, and they've let aside every weight. They are streamlined to run their race. They have very little weight on. They have spandex suits, very light shoes, and that is it. They're not wearing frocks. They're not doing that. They are prepared for the race. So take it now to you. Are you prepared for the race? Are you putting on your armor for the war? Are you prepared? Preparedness. Readiness. Always. "So let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us." We know the sins that set us apart. We know what our temptations are. We know what Satan likes to push. Don't give him the opportunity. Steer clear. Don't give him the opportunity. "And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto whom?" Jesus, not myself, Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. "Who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross." Not I, he endured the cross. "Despising the shame, and now he is sitting down at the right hand at the throne room of God, glorified. Praise be to him." So Paul tells us to press on to that goal. In Philippians chapter 3, 12 through 14, "Not as though I'd already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend them which are apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Amen. I want to read it to you now in the New Living. So this is Paul. All right. Sorry, Joe. It's coming off. Joe was giving me a hard time because I took my coat off last few weeks. In the New Living, it says, this is Paul saying, "I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I've already reached perfection." You won't make it there, folks. You won't be perfect. "Nevertheless," it says, "but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it. But I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past. Forgetting the past. It doesn't matter what you did in the past. It doesn't matter what you did for Christ in the past. Today is the day. Now faith is the substance. It's not yesterday's faith. It doesn't matter what you did in the past. It doesn't matter that you were great. It doesn't matter that you were bad. Paul, Saul, previously persecuted the church. He killed Christians. Yet he came to Christ. He forgot those things that are behind him. Looking forward to what lies ahead. The hope of salvation. Looking forward to what lies ahead. I live today knowing what is for tomorrow. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Jesus, is calling us. Jesus is at the end of the finish line. The cloud of witnesses there cheering you on. Come on! Make it. I remember running track meets. We'd run the 4x400 meters. If you ever run the 400 meter race, it is intense. It is like you run an all out sprint. And at the end of it, you got nothing left. And I remember vividly running. You know, I'd be running anchor and I'm like trying to hold on. And I remember just like the last 100 meters, my legs are just all wonky. Yet my team is at the end of the finish line. Come on, hold on, push through, get through it. Jesus is there cheering you on. It's okay. It's okay. You had a bad day. Run the race that's set before you. Keep your eyes focused on me. Don't listen to the distractions. Don't listen to the lies that Satan is saying before you. Focus. Run the race. Finish it. He's calling you. Let all who are spiritually mature agree on these things. And if you disagree on some point, I believe that God will make it plain to you. So if you disagree with me, you pray about it. You read the word. You ask God to enlighten you. He'll direct you. He'll tell you what's truth. I sat there, I was telling Brother Ed, I was watching a couple of ministers this week, and the Spirit was plain as day of what they were saying was not truth. It was not truth. And that's what the Holy Spirit can do. Don't just take my word at it. My dad used to say it all the time. Don't take my word at it. Just because I say it, just because I stand on a pulpit. Yeah, I labor hard every week for you guys. For him, for his glory. Not necessarily for you. And it helps keep me on point. It helps keep me focused. But don't take my word for it. You have to be doers and studiers of the word as well. And I love this. It says, with New Living, but we must hold on to the progress we have already made. Hold on to the progress you've already made. What have we been learning about being steadfast? What did steadfast mean? It meant to hold your ground. And how do you do that? You have on the armor of God. How do you hold on to it? When the Roman military would have that breastplate, right? And they would have the shield of faith, and they would create a phalanx to hold their ground. They would hold their ground as the opposing army would come. Hold on to the progress you have made, the things that you are learning today. Sow it deep into the heart, deep where it takes root, not where it falls on the wayside and then things come and snatch the truth away. Not when you're having a bad day. You stay focused on the word. You stay focused on the promise. He is faithful. He is faithful. So with the helmet fixed in place, we can fix our eyes on the hope of salvation to come. Our lives become a reflection of the life of Jesus Christ. That's what happens. It's like looking into a mirror as you become more holy. As you are sanctified, becomes more of a resemblance of him. So we can reach the goal that he made possible because of the cross. That goal is obtainable because of the cross. So we have hope that he and the power of his Holy Spirit will help us to sustain this journey of life. so we can reach our goal, so we can run the race that is set before us and finish the race. So there are several actions that we can take as a believer to keep our helmet on. One is to renew our minds daily. Our minds are the battlefield. That's where it occurs. That's where Satan tries to get a hold and create strongholds. Turn over to Romans chapter 12. Some of you already know this, but you know what? You're going to hear it again. It says, verse 1 and 2. Some of you need to start marking up your Bibles and bring your own Bibles to church. As we go through a lot of scripture, you guys need to start marking up the Bible. Use this. Write down notes. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is what, folks? That is your reasonable service. That is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Renewing your mind. God's word, his truth. Only. That's it. Period. His word, his truth only. Period. Everything else is blocked out. The distractions of life. Our old ways, our opinions, the world system itself, the views. You turn on the media, there's a lot of people that got opinions in this life. They'll tell you how to live and what's important. I would venture to say they don't know Christ. So we need to replace those thoughts with God's thoughts. How do you replace that? You get in the Word. You study it. You know it. So the helmet protects the head, and the helmet protects the brain, and it protects us from thoughts and temptations and every thought that casts itself above him, who we call Lord. Casting down imaginations and strongholds. We have to allow God's truth to wash away the enemy's lies and confusion from our minds, and we take on God's perspective. Again, his truth only, period. End of discussion. What does God say about it? That is the answer. That's how you replace it. What else can you do to keep that helmet on? How about rejecting doubts that from your circumstances of life? Some of you have real circumstances of life right now. Some of you are really struggling with certain things. Some of you are not. Life is good. Life is rosy. All is well. Great. Some of you others are hurting. Some of you are struggling. Some of you have real circumstances that are beyond your control. We seem to look at things only in a sensory mode. We look at what we can feel, touch, see. And we know those things. What we can't comprehend with our five senses, we just tend to disregard it. Circumstances can convince us that God does not really love us and his word is not true. That is the lie. That is the lie from Satan. That is the deception. Remember, he wants to shift your focus away from God and what his truth is to believing something else. What did he do in the garden? He lied. Those are lies from Satan. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. So you have to make a choice. I'm going to live by faith, or I'm going to live by my circumstances. It's a choice. If you want your circumstances to dictate your life, you are not in the faith. You are not following him. If you seek him and his truth, then that's the answer. Then you will be like the man who built the house on the rock. not the one on the sand. So when the storms of life come, you're okay. God rewards our faith. That's what Hebrews says, right? But without faith, it's impossible to please God. So we can choose to believe what appears impossible, because with God, all things are possible. In 1 Peter chapter 1, 6 through 9, and we already used this scripture, the part of it, it says, "Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations." Heaviness. Heaviness, Mom. Heaviness, Karen. Heaviness. "That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, you might be found unto praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." Tried with fire, like Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. Tried with faith in Christ. The Holy Spirit was there with them, saw them through it. And as a result, the king and the people bowed down and said, their God is God. "Whom having not seen, you love, in whom though you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul." Keeping an eternal perspective. When you're in the boat and the waves are crashing around you, look up. Your salvation is near, folks. It's a precious gift you've received. Like Luke 21 said, "Behold, your redemption is near." Keep your eyes focused on him. What happened when Peter came out of the boat? He saw Jesus walking on the water and he asked, "Jesus, bid me come to you." He walked on water, didn't he? And all of a sudden, a wave came out of nowhere. What did he actually do, folks? Do you know what happens? He took his eyes off of Christ and he started to sink. He took his eyes off Christ. What did we just learn about the race? Jesus is at the end of the race, calling you before you. Keep your eyes where they are. My gaze transfixed on Jesus' face. Storms of life come crashing in. It's just noise. The noise of life. That's Satan just creating noise, trying to distract you. The lies. You're not worthy. You're going to be alone. You're an idiot. You need to get all the things of this life as much as you can right now. Don't forego those things. You can have your cake and eat it too. God is a God of love. He wouldn't condemn you. Lies. Think about it. We've talked about it numerous times every week. We talk about like those thoughts that come in out of nowhere. It's like, where did that come from? You know who it's coming from now. You have to realize what you are dealing with. It is spiritual warfare. If you don't want to realize that, you're not fit for the master's use. You're not fit for the army. If you don't realize what's going on, you can't help others. You can't help others. You have to realize what is going on and then how you can be used as a vessel of honor to further the kingdom of God. But if you just kind of like, I don't buy any of this. Okay, well, if you don't buy it, read the scripture. You ask the Lord. If you don't buy what I'm saying, pray about it. Ask God what he has to say. He'll reveal it to you. Hopefully you don't get revealed like Elijah's aide, where his eyes were open, and he had like, "Oh, we're surrounded. Oh, wait, actually, we're surrounded by the enemy, but the enemy's surrounded by the angels' armies, God's army." Maybe that wouldn't be such a bad thing. Maybe your faith would be at a whole nother level if your eyes were open to see on that level. Because it's real, folks. It is real. The victory has already been accomplished at the cross. Romans chapter 6 says, in verse 11 says, we need to consider ourselves dead to sin, but alive to God. So that eliminates anything that Satan throws our way to try to entrap us. We now choose that sin is no longer an option for us. We are now slaves of righteousness in Romans 6:18. We aren't of the mud. We serve him. We are bondservants to him in righteousness and holiness. Because we are new creatures. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man and woman, let's just add that in there, be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. I'm forgetting those things which are behind. I look forward to those things which are ahead. So old things are passed away, and all things have become new. All things have become new. My inner spirit is renewed day by day by day. Because victory has already been accomplished. I just need to stand on his word. I need to stand on his truth. We find all of our hope in him. The hope of salvation, all of our hope is in him. In Psalm 73, verse 25 says, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. Our helmet is most effective when we treasure what it represents, that Christ purchased our salvation, our life, redeemed us by giving his life at the cross for you, for me. That I have eternal life now. All the things that I did in the past, they're washed away in his blood. It's got to be first in our heart. When we seek to honor him, sin has no dominion over you. It has no power over you. So as we wear the helmet of salvation every day, our minds become protected from the suggestions and desires and traps that the enemy lays for us. We guard our minds and we guard our hearts from worldly influence and systems. Instead, we think on things that honor Christ, which is in Philippians chapter 4, verses 7 through 8. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, I love this because this just confirms what I just said, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Shall keep your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, so interject it. Finally, Deanna, you having a tough day? I heard you when we were practicing. Finally, Deanna, whatsoever things are true, Jessica, whatsoever things are honest, Karen, whatsoever things are just, Katie, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, Stephen, if there be any praise, you think on these things. You dwell on these things. You don't dwell what Satan throws up your way. You dwell on what is pure and right. You dwell on those precious promises because that is the hope of what's to come. Do you understand what the helmet of salvation is? So in doing so, we wear our salvation as a protective helmet. It guards our hearts and minds in Christ of what is to come. It's the hope of what is to come. And what is to come? We're going to close right now. Turn over to Revelation. Verse 1. This is what is to come, folks. This is the promise. Chapter 21, verse 1. You guys ready? You ready to hear what's coming? You ready to know the future? Do you want to know the future, folks? And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God." And here it is, folks. "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Wow. I just got goosebumps. I just got goosebumps. What a promise. And it's alive. Isn't it? When you read it, doesn't that come alive, the scripture? It comes alive. This is the salvation we are fighting for, folks. To enter into his glorious kingdom. We cannot lose sight. This coming kingdom with its peace and its prosperity makes everything that we struggle with, every price that we pay in this life worth. It's worth it. No matter what comes our way, we are victorious. Doesn't matter what vicious tax the enemy sets and besets on us. We know that as long as we remain with God, it's a marathon, folks. The race, it's not a sprint, unfortunately. It is a marathon. We run that race, reaching forth to that prize, that eternal victory that is noted in Revelation chapter 21. All the old things are passed away. Don't lose focus. Give it all you have, every strength that you can muster up. Amen. Amen. The helmet of salvation, folks. Does it give you a new perspective on the helmet? It opened my eyes as I was studying it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, for your promises. They are pure and they are fresh, Father. They give us life. They encourage us, Father. We love you, Lord. We seek you. Help us. Help us to grow in you. Help us to stay focused at the end of the race, seeing you. Seeing you, Jesus, at the end of our race. Cheering us on that we don't lose focus. We don't lose sight of what we're supposed to be doing. Help us to lead others to know you. To know these promises. As this world struggles, as this world grows more evil every day, help us to be a light unto this world. There's so much uncertainty stirred around in this life. But we know that your word is true. Help us to disregard our circumstances, Father. That our circumstances be found in you and you alone. Us to be in your image, Father. Mold us. For you are the potter and we are the clay. And if there are infirmities, Father, throw us into the fire. Burn up that the infirmity, Father. Burn it up. Burn up the imperfections and start breaking us and molding us into new. A vessel of honor, Father. Not of dishonor. Be with us as we go our separate ways, that we honor and glorify you in our workplace, Lord. There are those that we come in contact, that people are watching. They are watching us. Help us to be an example to them, that we might further your kingdom to those who are lost in our workplace, to those we come in contact with, as we go about doing the things of our life. That we do it always with an eternal perspective, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed.